This morning I've chosen the topic of satanic theatrical productions. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and follow along as we study this topic. Make sure these things are in accordance with the Word of God. If you feel they are, apply them to your life. If you feel they are not, then approach me, preferably in a way you'd want to be approached, and let's study that together. By the introduction, one might think that I'm going to be talking about and denouncing certain movies that are made about Satan and these occult-type movies. And certainly there are those, and certainly those are worthy of being denounced. Or maybe you think, I'm just going to be thinking about any movie that Hollywood produces that contains the type of filth that much of them do, whether it be filthy language or the betrayal and glorification often of fornication and other things. Certainly those are of the devil. They're certainly not of God. And so they could be satanic theatrical productions. And there's plenty of that to denounce and to condemn. But I'm not talking about either of these this morning. Actually, we are continuing our march through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've come to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's from the first part of this chapter. I'm talking about satanic theatrical productions. Jesus deals with the sin of hypocrisy. Now, what is a hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite is a play actor. Someone who pretends to be what he's not. Essentially, hypocrisy is a form of lying, and a hypocrite is a liar. Someone once said that if we were all that we pretended to be, the world would be a much better place. Jesus said of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, all their works they do to be seen by men. Now that phrase, to be seen, comes from the Greek word theomai. And as you can see the similarity there, it's from this word that we get our words theater and theatrical. Well, now that's what an actor does. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite puts on these great theatrical productions. And since hypocrisy is of Satan, certainly not of God, Jesus condemns it often throughout his ministry on earth, we're going to talk about satanic theatrical productions. Now, hypocrisy didn't just affect the religious leaders of Jesus' day. It affects many in our society today. We have hypocrites in our homes. We have hypocrites in the workplaces. We have hypocrites in our government. But worst of all, we have hypocrites in our churches. There are those who sing words of songs that they don't really mean or certainly do not live. There are a lot of satanic theatrical productions coming out of Hollywood. There's no doubt about that. But there may be even more of these coming out of some of the churches across the nation. Someone once said that in the church there are too many plastic preachers, cardboard Christians, and synthetic saints. Jesus lashes out against the sin of hypocrisy. And he attacks in the first place their sharing. Now look with me at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Now I'm told that when a Pharisee was about to give something to the poor, he would do two things. He would stand out in a well-traveled public place where a lot of people were around, and then he would literally blow a trumpet, which supposedly served to alert the poor that he was about to give something. But the trumpet really alerted everyone within earshot so that they could turn around and see him giving to the poor. And so he then wanted men to say about him, well, look at what a wonderful spiritual giving, sharing person he is. That's what the Pharisee was, and that's what he was after. He was after that man praise. He was after that reward. His giving wasn't induced by love for man or love for God. He was interested in himself and others praising him. The Lord said in verse 2 that the hypocrite seeks glory from men. The Lord said they'll have their reward. He doesn't mean that they're going to be rewarded with eternity in heaven, but he means that they're going to receive the reward that they're looking for. They'll have men praising them for their good deeds. And Jesus warns us here not to fall into the same trap as the Pharisee. We are not to draw attention to our sharing when we share with those who are in need. Look at verses 3 and 4 here of Matthew 6. He says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who is in secret will himself reward you openly." Now the fact is, we are to share of our means. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, the Apostle Paul said, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." In Galatians 6:10, Paul later said, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith." John chimes in on this in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 17, when he says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" But we are to share in such a way as to seek, or we are not to share in such a way as to seek the glory of men. Jesus isn't teaching here that other men may never know of our good deeds. Sometimes that's inevitable. Sometimes it's impossible to share with someone or to give someone something they need without others knowing that. But what Jesus is teaching here is that we should not boast about our good deeds. We shouldn't use our good deeds as a way to get praise from men, and we certainly should not do them only to receive this man praise. We should share what God has blessed us with out of love for God and out of love and concern for our fellow man. That ought to be our motive. And so when we think about satanic theatrical productions, Jesus attacks their sharing. Number two, he attacks not only their sharing, but he attacks their service. Their service. Look at verse 5 of Matthew 6. Jesus says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Hypocrisy had even infected their devotional service to the Lord. It had infected their supplications to the Lord. Even their prayers were satanic theatrical productions. Why did they stand on the street corners to pray? Because they wanted to talk to an all-loving and powerful God? Absolutely not. It was because they wanted to make sure other men heard them loud and clear. Well, did they want others to hear them so that they might join in talking to God? Did they want others to hear them praying because they wanted to influence them to be more prayerful themselves? Did they want others to hear them praying because they wanted to encourage and exhort others with their prayers? The answer to all these is no. They wanted others to hear them so that others would approach them later and say, "Oh, what a beautiful prayer that was." That's what they're after. They used something as hallowed as talking to God. They used it as a menacing tool to get praise from the lips of men. I'm afraid the same might be said about many saints and churches of our day. The Bible emphasizes that we are to sing from the heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Making melody in your heart. The Bible teaches that we are to pray to God, not to man. John chapter 17, verse 1, we're told that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father." He prayed to God. Our partaking of the Lord's Supper should be sincere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, while doing so, we're to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, keeping our hearts in it. Examining ourselves, verse 28, to make sure we're not partaking in an unworthy manner. Even our giving should be done with sincere gratitude toward God, understanding the indescribable gift that God has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. There's a story about a little girl who walked into a church house one time while services were going on, and she saw the people singing. She saw their lips moving, looking at their song books, but she didn't hear a sound. She once saw a man stand up and begin to pray, and she could see his lips moving, but she couldn't hear anything. And then the preacher got up and he began to preach, and she could see him animated and his lips moving, but silence. And an angel appeared to the little girl and said, "You're hearing this service as God hears it. It's useless, it's worthless, because their hearts weren't in it. They weren't sincere about their service. They were just there to put forth their pious platitudes, to show everybody that I'm a godly person. Look, I'm here." And I fear that many of these silent services are going on across the nation. And we need to beware. Jesus warns against hypocrisy in our worship services. Look at Matthew chapter 6. He says in verse 6 to 8, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." Now, some have come to me and said, "Well, is it a sin to pray and bless your food in an open restaurant with other people around? Is that what the Lord is condemning here?" And I say emphatically, no, absolutely not. That's not what the Lord is condemning here, that we should never pray in front of anybody else, that we literally have to go into a closet before we can pray. That's ridiculous. How many of you have ever went into a closet literally and prayed? I confess I have before. When I lived in West Tennessee and tornadoes were coming, the closet's the only place I had to hide, and I guarantee you I was praying. This is not what the Lord has in mind. For example, what about Kenny Todd? He stood up here before us and prayed, led us in a prayer. He prayed before men, didn't he? And so we know that's not what he is literally condemning here. What he's condemning is the praying for the purpose of receiving the glory of man, of receiving the man praise. Jesus was warning about the motive of our prayers. It's not even a sin if somebody comes up to you after services and says, "I appreciate your prayer. That was a beautiful prayer you led." There's nothing wrong with that. Those types of words and those type of compliments are very encouraging to us, and they exhort us. But these are only pleasant byproducts of our prayer. If I'm praying because I want that compliment, because I want that man praise, now I'm in violation of what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. And then Jesus said that we should never use vain repetitions. Now listen, Jesus didn't condemn repetitions across the board. He condemned a specific kind of repetition, vain repetitions. In fact, Jesus himself used repetitions in his prayer. Remember the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane near the end of his life? We're told that Jesus in verse 39 went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then in verse 42, again a second time, he went away and prayed. And then again in verse 44, "So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Saying the same words? Jesus used repetition in prayer. That's not what he's condemning. Jesus is condemning vain or empty or useless repetitions. The Pharisees love to concoct or to copy fancy, elaborate phrases and then just repeat them in their prayer so that they sound pretty and so that men would then talk about, "Oh, how eloquent his prayers are." That's what Jesus is condemning here. And so as we think about these satanic theatrical productions. We see that Jesus attacks their sharing. He attacks their service. And he attacks their sacrifice. Even their self-discipline had been corrupted by hypocrisy. Look with me in verse 16 of Matthew 6. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to be men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Jesus said they disfigure their faces. I'm told that they would rub some dirt on their faces. And then when other men were around them, when they were in public, they'd all of a sudden put the long face on and the gloomy face. Just a big theatrical production is all it was. Well, it was just a show is all it was, so that they would appear to men to be fasting. That's what they were after. They were after the man praise. They would make the sacrifice of fasting. They would discipline themselves to miss a meal or to miss a couple of meals. That's good. But then they would use that, and we see that their motivation behind that was to have the praise of men. They wanted other men to talk about how pious and holy they were. Jesus warns us about hypocrisy in our sacrifices. Now, folks have often asked me how I feel about fasting. It's really an entirely different study in and of itself. I am personally inclined to fast on occasion, but if God imposes it upon men, He forgot to give some guidelines. Now, many of the fasts of Jesus' day only amounted to skipping one meal, or perhaps at the most two meals. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable of Luke 18, verse 12, said that he fasted twice a week. Albert Barnes says in his notes, the Pharisees are said to have fasted regularly on the second and fifth days of every week. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, we find the apostles fasting before they commended the elders to the church. But again, God really didn't give any guidelines as to fasting. In other words, if God commands us to fast, how long do we fast? 3 days? 7 days? 40 days? Jesus did. Do we skip one meal? 2 meals? Do we do it twice a week? 3 times a week? There's just no guidelines. I suspect that many of us have fasted, even without realizing or connecting it to fasting. Have you ever missed eating because you're too nervous about an upcoming event? Have you ever missed a meal or perhaps several meals because you were at the hospital praying and thinking about a loved one who is very sick? Have you ever missed a meal because a loved one passed away and you spent a lot of time mourning and praying and just couldn't think about eating for a long time? That's fasting. You weren't doing this out of a desire to be praised by men. It was just a reaction to certain circumstances that caused you to humble yourself and to draw closer to God. But there is an element of fasting that is a driving truth, a theme that affects many other aspects of our lives which must be present and must be sincere. And that's the element of self-discipline, and the driving force behind self-discipline is this concept of sacrifice. Now, any of you who've ever tried fasting, have you ever tried to miss a meal? Maybe you tried to miss a meal because you wanted to reduce your waistline a little bit. That takes a great amount of discipline, doesn't it? I mean, that's a real sacrifice for a lot of people to miss lunch. It takes sacrifice to skip dinner. It takes some sacrifice to do things like that. Our entire lives, Paul tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, ought to be offered as living sacrifices to God. A true, sincere sacrifice, not a sham. There are some ways in which people will do good things, but for the wrong reasons. For example, a drunkard. Now, if it's a drunkard who's trying to appear to be a Christian, he's not going to go out in the public place and be seen buying his beer in an evident way. He's not going to be drunk around his friends or around his fellow Christians especially. But he may sneak over a county or two and buy him some liquor and sneak it home and drink it home. But when he's around his friends and his Christian friends, he's sober. He makes that sacrifice. It's hypocrisy. And then maybe there's some people who sacrifice and discipline themselves when it comes to their language. When they're around their Christian buddies and their Christian friends, they're real careful not to use innuendo or bad language. They're careful not to tell a lewd joke, but get them around their buddies at work or get them around their friends at school. And they're laughing right along with the dirty jokes and occasionally using the foul language. Well, what of their sacrifice when they're around their Christians? Well, it was just a sham. It was just a satanic, theatrical production. Some people show nothing but love and sweetness toward their mates while they're around others. But then they go home and treat them like dirt. Well, what was that when you was doing that around others? That was a theatrical production. It was a show. So that others may look at you and say, oh, what a great wife she is, or oh, what a great husband he is. It's all a sham. It's all one big satanic theatrical production. It's all done for the benefit of other men in order to make them think we're something that we're not. An interesting thing we learn about all this is that it's not just doing good things that matters. They do matter. We must do the good things. But it's the motive behind those things. Jesus would never condemn the Pharisees for sharing with the poor. He would never condemn the Pharisees for praying. He would never condemn the Pharisees for fasting and for making sacrifices. But he does condemn them if all of it is just for a show. If the motive behind all that is just to hear the praise of men. And he warns us and says, beware. Do not be like the hypocrite. And so Jesus' message here isn't just to condemn the Pharisees, but to warn everybody else about the dangers of hypocrisy. And we see in Matthew 6 that Jesus attacks their sharing. He attacks their service, and he attacks their sacrifice. Let's pray.